morning. It is good to see you, and we are glad that you are here. If you've got your Bibles with you this morning, you can go ahead and begin to turn to our place of Scripture in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 3. The book of 2 Timothy chapter 3, and this morning we're going to be looking at two verses, verses 16 and 17. The book of 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, and I'm excited this morning as we begin a new sermon series on Sunday morning as we talk about God Speaks. God Speaks. Has anybody ever heard the audible voice of God speak before? That's okay. Nobody may raise their hand for fear of being thought insane. I know that in my former job working at a sheriff's department, we used to deal a lot with those who were mentally ill. And one of the most common things that I've seen is in the mentally ill, they would sometimes say that they heard the voice of God and God would tell them to do all of these different things. So I think sometimes when we talk about, as Christians, about God speaks or hearing the voice of God, most of us would be hesitant to say that we've heard God's voice. But I hope that as a Christian, you can say that you have felt God's presence or you felt God's movement or His direction by way of the Holy Spirit. And I want you to know that even if you've never heard an audible voice of God, that God does speak. Amen? And God speaks to His people. And I hope that as a Christian, as a follower of God, that you can say that you have heard God speak, even if it's not an audible voice, but by through His leadership, by His direction. And over the next several weeks, we're going to be talking about how God speaks to us. And one of the greatest ways that God speaks to us is through His Word. You know, as Baptists, as Southern Baptists in particular, we believe that the Word of God is divinely inspired by God, that it is God-breathed, that when we read the Word of God, whether it be Genesis through Revelation, that we are reading God's words to man, even though they may have been penned by many different authors, and the Scripture that we're going to read this morning was written by a man named Paul. We're going to see how that Paul was divinely inspired by God and how Paul explains to us that God's Word really does speak to us. And it's not just words, but it's God's voice unto us. In particular, we're going to talk about this morning how that we can trust God's Word. We can trust His Word. I know that a lot of times we have trust issues sometimes. Anybody have trust issues? Yeah, maybe a few of us. Here's a good example of trust. I'm a very trusting person in a lot of ways. Some ways I am not, but in a lot of ways I am. I trust my wife to drive me everywhere that we go. If I'm not working, if I'm out with my wife, she drives everywhere. Now, how many of you gentlemen, by show of hands, will allow your wife to drive you anywheres? A few, but overwhelmingly, Jason says no, absolutely not. Yeah, and she's fine with that. I even trust my wife when she brought me to the closest point of death in a vehicle that I believe I've ever been. This is the first time that I've ever been able to share this story. It happened 2 years ago. I'm just now getting to the point of having enough therapy and sessions that I can get to the point of being able to tell other people about it. You know, we're avid fans of bass fishing, and we went to the Bassmaster Classic 2 years ago in Houston, Texas. And Houston, if you've never been there before, is a very large city. And when she drives, I try to just let her drive, and I don't pay any attention. And we were driving down this street in Houston, and we came to a intersection, and there were pedestrians getting ready to cross. And I look at this lady, and she looks at me very intently. And she says, like this. And then I look in front of me, and all the vehicles that are coming towards us have headlights in this direction. Heather had turned the wrong way on a four-lane, one-way street in downtown Houston, Texas. And on top of that, they have Amtraks that also run in the middle of downtown Houston, Texas. So in the middle of getting turned around, she got stuck on an Amtrak track. Oh, yeah. And then, of course, what do you hear next? The ding, ding, ding of the Amtrak train as it's rolling down the tracks. The most scared that I've ever been in my life, but we got turned around to live because obviously I'm here to tell you the story today. That happened 2 years ago, but I still trust my wife. And I want us to see today how that we can be trusting in God's Word. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. Please stand with me. We give honor and reverence to the reading of the Word of God. Paul wrote and said this. He said, "All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete and equipped for every good work." Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You so much for the blessing of today. Lord, we thank You for the rain and the snow that You provided. Lord, we just thank You for the opportunity of fellowship. Lord, that we can come together as brothers and sisters in Christ, Lord, to read Your Word, to share the singing of hymns and worship songs. And Lord, I just pray that, Father, You bless our services here today. Lord, I pray that we come today to learn about how that You speak to us through Your Word. And Lord, as You speak to us through Your Word, we can trust in Your Word. Every bit of it, Lord. Everything that You say. Every promise, Lord. It's all guaranteed because of who You are. And Lord, Father, I just pray today that if there's somebody here who's never trusted in You, never stepped out in faith to call upon You as Lord and as Savior, then Lord, Father, I pray that today, before it's everlasting too late, they would come and be saved. Lord, I pray that there's a Christian among us here, Lord, who struggles, Lord, with trusting in You and trusting in Your Word. Lord, if there's a Christian here among us who just so desperately needs to hear Your voice of guidance and of direction, then Lord, I pray that they would cry out unto You today and Your Holy Spirit would speak boldly and loudly. Lord, I pray that Your Word would speak unto our hearts today, that it would instill within us this notion and this understanding that we can truly trust within You. Lord, Father, I pray that You but use me as a mouthpiece and as a tool. Lord, I pray that You but preach me as a dying man unto a lost and a dying world. So, Father, Lord, we just pray for the leadership of Thy Spirit. It's all of this we ask in Your holy and precious name. Amen. Amen. And as you're being seated, here, Paul, as he writes to Timothy, and I love the books of 1st and 2nd Timothy because Paul, as an experienced minister of the gospel, he is writing unto his friend and his companion in the ministry, and a younger man who he's taken on really under his wings as a tutor, this man named Timothy. And Paul writes these letters from prison, and he reminds Timothy about how that God speaks through His Word. And he says, all Scripture is breathed out by God. The first thing I want you to know about trusting in the Word of God is this, is that we can trust God's Word because it's true. I hope that you've got something to write something down with. If you've got your phone, take notes in an application in your phone. If you've got pen and paper, write this down. Every week I want you to be prepared to absorb what the Word of God has to say about Him speaking unto us. This is important. This is important for your spiritual growth and for our growth as a church, that you know and understand and always remember that we can trust in God's Word because it's true, because it's His words. Not the words of man, not my words, but His words. All Scripture is breathed out by God. In preparing for this message, I looked up the Greek translation of the Word as it meant to be breathed out. And literally, the translation of the Word, it means God exalted. God exalted. All Scripture is breathed out by God, meaning that it is God exalted. And this is the only time in all of God's Word, whether we talk New Testament, Old Testament, the only time in God's Word where we ever see that God's Word is God exalted is right here as Paul writes these words to Timothy. And I don't know about you, but I think if something's mentioned one time in this one occasion, it's worth taking note of. Paul said this for the very first time to Timothy. He said, God's Word is God exalted. It's God's expression. It's His words. We can trust it because it's His words. You don't have to trust His Word and this message because I preach it. You don't have to trust these words because Paul wrote them. You can trust in them because they're God exalted and God breathed. You see, there's a lot of things in life that you can't trust. I work in a profession where I don't trust very many people that I come across. Because if I get too trusting, there's a lot of people out there that would hurt me in a heartbeat in the job that I do. So I'm not overly trusting of people. Some of us, as I mentioned earlier, we have these trust issues. But God is an entity, is a being, is a man that we can trust. And because we can trust God, we can trust His Word because it's always true. I want you to know that God, like His Word, is forever and always. You see, God's Word is true. And if God's Word is true and God is like His Word, then His Word, like Him, is forever. Never ceases to be. You see, God's Word is valuable now, just as it was when Paul wrote this to Timothy. God's Word is going to be valuable 2,000 years from now, if the world still stands and God hasn't called us all home. His Word will still be relevant and meaning, and it will still be true. You see, there's people in the world today who want to try to tell you that God's Word is contradictory. That God's Word can't be all truth. That there's things in God's Word that doesn't add up, that doesn't make sense. It's not mathematically or scientifically possible. But because God is true and because God is forever, God's Word is always going to be true and it's always going to be forever relevant. I think about the Old Testament reference in Isaiah chapter 40 verse 8, where in His Word He says this. He says, "The grass withers, the flower fades, but the Word of God will stand forever." The grass withers, the flower fades, but the Word of God stands forever. God's Word never ceases to be. God's Word, like Him, will never leave you and never forsake you. You see, God's Word is something that you can take and instill within your heart and use in your life, because it's true and it never fades. God, like His Word, never changes. Just like God is forever and His Word is forever, we can trust in His Word because it never changes. God is the same today, tomorrow, forever, and always. I think of the book of 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1 verses 20 and 21, Peter said it this way: "Knowing this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. Nothing come from the will of man when it comes to God's Word, but it was all divinely inspired by God through the leadership of the Holy Spirit." You know what I love about my faith and my belief in God? Is that when I read His Word, it's His Word. I think about some of the other religious groups of the world. When we look at the Quran is not written by God, it's been written by man. When we think about the Bible of the Latter-day Saints, it very openly is expressed that it was written by a man. But God's Word has been written and divinely inspired by Him. And because it's been written and divinely inspired by Him, we can always trust it to be true. The second thing that I want you to see about God's Word today is not only can we trust it because it's true, but as God speaks to us through His Word, we can trust His Word to have effect upon our lives. You see, the great and the beautiful thing about God is we don't just read it to gain some knowledge. We don't just read it so that we might become biblical scholars for the sake of being biblical scholars. We read the Word of God and we know that as the Word of God speaks to us, because it is God speaking to us, that we can truly grow from it, that we can learn from it, and it will have an effect upon our lives. One author expressed it this way in concerns to explaining what Paul wrote here in verse 16. As he said, "All Scripture is breathed out by God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof and correction, and for training in righteousness." One author says that basically Paul is explaining it this way, that Scripture is good for teaching us what is right. It's also good for reproof, meaning it teaches us what is not right, and it's good for correction, meaning it teaches us how to get right. Amen? The Word of God is profitable. The Word of God is profitable. Why? Because it teaches us what is right. It teaches us what is not right. And probably one of the greatest things about God's Word and how it affects our life is the fact that it can teach us how to get right. Amen? The Word of God divinely inspires and directs us how that we can obtain a greater relationship with God. How we can be more faithful in our relationship with Him. The Word of God, if we truly read it and allow God to speak unto our hearts, God will affect us. God's Word will affect us. It'll lead us and guide us and direct us. It'll teach us how to grow. It'll teach us how to be more mature. It'll convict us of our sin. Now, I know sometimes that scares people. We're all right with the teaching us the things that are good. Yeah, teach me the things that are good. Teach me the things that are right. Tell me the things that are wrong. But then we get to that part of the Word where it says that it is good for correction, where it will teach us how to get right. Sure, we want to maybe know what's right and what's wrong. But when it comes down to really applying and correcting and changing, maybe then the Word of God becomes offensive to us because it points out the things that we do wrong. That maybe our lifestyle doesn't add up to what the Word of God says isn't right or what we should be doing. The Word of God can affect our lives. Why? Because the Word of God, like unto Him, is powerful. The Word of God is powerful. How many times have you looked at your Bible and thought, man, this is power. This is power. The words that are in it, the prayers that are in it, the direction that's in it, the guidance that's in it, this is power. This is a key. This is something that can change my life. You see, we all know and believe that God can change hearts and lives, amen? Well, if God can change hearts and lives, why can't His Word lead us and point us in the direction of being changed? It can, because it's powerful. Paul, in the writings of the book of Hebrews, chapter 4, verse 12, he said it this way. He said, "For the Word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the divisions of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and the intentions of the heart." The Word of God is powerful and can do great things. Likened unto that two-edged sword, he says it can pierce the soul and the spirit to the very joints of the marrow, and it can discern the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. That's powerful. It's powerful to think and believe that God's Word can pierce us to the innermost parts of our heart and soul. Do you know that to read God's Word and to listen to God speak through His Word, Paul is saying here that that can tell us and discern our very heart. You see, you can fool me about who you really are. You can fool your wife and you can fool your husband. You can fool all of your friends about who you really are deep down in your heart. But you cannot fool God. And God's Word will even show you and tell you and explain to you the very thoughts and the intentions of your heart. That's how powerful that God's Word is. That's how great that the Word of God can affect your life. Pierce your inner soul and heart and tell you your truest of intentions. Because God is powerful, because His Word is powerful, it has the ability to change hearts and change lives. I think about the very man who writes these words. You see, Paul started out as a man of the law, a man who hunted down Christians, obtained warrants for their arrest, and hunted them down. that they might be arrested for preaching the gospel, so that they could ultimately stand trial and many of them be stoned to death. Paul, when he was Saul, stood by and held the cloaks and the robes for those who came to stone Stephen to death. And he stood there and he held their garments while Stephen was stoned to death for nothing more than being a follower and a preacher and a proclaimer of God and His power. And while he traveled on the road to Damascus to ultimately try to round up more Christian followers, God came to Paul and God, in an audible voice, spoke to him and shown himself to Saul in a great light. And Saul was changed. He became a man that we know as Paul. Paul's life was radically changed by God and His Word. Now, Paul, seeing the Word of God in an audible light, in an audible voice, and he saw God in the showing of a great light. But Paul would continue on to share God's Word and write God's Word that others of us, like us today, could hear God's Word and hear God speak through His written Word. Paul was changed dramatically by God. And God's Word has the ability to change us dramatically. Paul went from a persecutor of Christians to a pastor and preacher of the gospel. Paul, when he wrote to the church of Galatia, Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, here is how great the Word of God changed the life of Paul. Paul said, "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who lives, but it is Christ who lives in me. And the life that I live now in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me." Saul went from crucifying Christians and a man of the law to a man whom was radically changed by God. These are the words of a changed man. He says, "I am crucified with Christ." He says, "I'm not the man that I used to be. I'm crucified with Christ." He says, "It's not my life that I live anymore, but the life of Him in me." He says, "The life that I now live," he says, "I live, the flesh that I live by faith is in the Son of God who loved me and who gave Himself for me." Paul was radically changed by God and His Word. God's Word has the ability to change our lives and to change our hearts. I want you to know that not only can we trust God and His Word to be true, not only can we trust God and His Word to affect our lives, but I also want you to know this morning that like God, we can trust His Word to prepare us for mission. Verse 17, Paul said, "That the man of God may be complete and equipped for every good work." That the man of God may be complete and equipped for every good work. Now, ladies, this includes you too. Don't let that word scare you away. That every man or woman, that every man or woman of God may be complete and equipped for every good work. Like God, His Word will prepare us for a great mission. God has given us a great mission. You see, before Christ ascended into heaven, He told His disciples, He said, "I want you to go forward to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. I want you to preach the Word. I want you to bring them into the church. I want you to baptize them into the fellowship of the church. And then I want you to teach them all things as I've taught you. I want you to teach them how to be a disciple." Christ spoke these words in Matthew chapter 28, verses 18, 19, and 20. He says, "And Jesus came and said to them, 'All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. Behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age.'" Christ says, "All power has been given to me in heaven and earth." And you see, Christ is telling His disciples, He says, "I'll give to you the power that you need to go forward and complete this mission. Paul tells us that the Word of God equips us, it completes us, that we can complete our mission. Church, we have a mission and we have a purpose. It's not just a fellowship amongst each other. Our purpose and our mission goes beyond that. Our church has a purpose that goes beyond having great worship services. I'm at a point in my life where I love coming here on Sunday mornings. I look forward to being able to share with you. I look forward to seeing your faces. I look forward to seeing what God's Word and what God is doing in the lives of His people. I love it. Happier now than in any ministry that I've ever been in my life. God is doing great things and God is working in mighty ways. As much as I love all those things, I know in my heart that God has a greater purpose for this church than just us coming together for wonderful worship services. You see, God's purpose for us is that we would go out and that we would bring people in. That we would bring them in, that we would share with them Christ Jesus. Baptize them into the church after they confess and welcome Christ into their heart and their life. And then teach them. He says, teach them all things as I have taught you. We have a responsibility to be disciples. We have a responsibility to see people saved and to be evangelistic. If you ever wonder why our church isn't growing, then it might be because we're not meeting the parts of the plan that Christ gave His disciples to go out and to see people saved and to bring them in. That's our job, to go out and to bring them in. It isn't just my job. I love seeing lost people saved. I love sharing Christ with the lost and the dying. I love it. I wish that I could see the results that I saw 15 years ago when I was first in the ministry. Got to do all kinds of evangelism, evangelistic work, seen hundreds of people saved in the first 2 years of my ministry. Loved seeing God work. But I want to tell you that it's not just my responsibility. It's your responsibility too. Not nearly enough amens there. Let me say this one more time. I don't believe we're getting it. I'm going to close and get ready to close quickly. But I want you to hear something. It is not just my job and my responsibility to go out and to share with people Christ Jesus and bring them in. Now, all God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. It's all of our jobs to bring people in. It's all of our jobs to help disciple and to help teach them to be those followers of Christ as He has taught us. And His Word has the ability to complete us, to help us in our righteousness, to teach us what is right, what is not right, and to teach us how to get right. Amen? And God wants us to share those things with a lost and a dying world. Teach them how they can get right with the Lord. And then when they get right with Him, when they invite Him into their heart and life, teach them how to be the faithful followers. As our praise and our worship team comes, we're going to close out this time of preaching. We come to a time in the service where now it's an opportunity and a time for response. What does that mean? This is a time for you. If you're here and you've never known Christ Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, I want you to know that God has the power and the ability to change your heart and to change your life today. Just like we've talked about His power in the Word, and the Word changes lives, Christ changes hearts and Christ changes lives. If you've never known Christ, never accepted Him, never invited Him into your heart and your life, would you not come today and be saved? I'll share with you through God's Word what the Word of God says that's required, and it's as simple as inviting Him into your heart and your life and confessing of your sin, knowing that you're a sinner, knowing that you need to be saved. That's all that's required of you. If you'll come and accept Christ into your heart, He's faithful and just and willing to forgive you today. This is a time of response for who? For you. Not just if you're here and you're lost, but if you're here and you desperately need God's direction, you need to hear God speak in your life. Whether it be about a ministry, whether it be about a life change, whether it just be about getting right, living for Him more faithfully, how to be a better witness, how to be a greater servant, you come. I'll be happy to pray with you. Bring somebody to pray with you. But if nothing else, you can always come and cry out to God. Nobody else required, just you and Him. You come. This is an opportunity for you to come and pray for your church. This is an opportunity for you to come and join our church. However God is leading you, you respond this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we close out this service, Lord, as we come to a time of invitation and response, Lord, I pray that the hearts of Your people have been greatly moved. Lord, I pray that if there's somebody here lost and undone, then Lord, I pray that Your Spirit will guide them to come and be saved. That there would be no concern or worry of what other people might think or say or do. Lord, I pray that they trust in You and You alone. Lord, I know that there are hearts here today who desperately want to hear Your voice. Lord, I know that You have the power to speak and to change lives and change hearts. But Lord, I know there are people here who are suffering. People here, Lord, who have such confusion about the direction in their life. They just need to hear You speak. Lord, I pray that Your Holy Spirit will speak to them today. Lord, Father, I just pray that others will come, whatever the need might be. Lord, help us to be responsive to Your Word today. It's all this we ask in Your holy, precious name. Amen.
Let's all stand together.
Guilty. Guilty is all that I could say. Your mercy crashed in like a wave, and all my sins are washed away. You took them all. There's not a trace. I stand Here free with every stain, forever washed away. Spotless, whiter than snow. Your blood covers me, I'm whole, and all my sins are washed away. You took them all. There's not a trace. Stand Here free with every stain, forever washed away, and all my sins are washed away. You took them all. There's not a trace. I stand Here free with every shame, forever washed away. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other doubt I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. How precious is the flow that makes me white. took them all. There's not a day I stand here free. With every